Okay, we are making a little introduction in our Inyan of Lifnei Iver, like it in Mishael, to speak about Inyan of the Yoimer. People always want to hear something, some new Divrei Torah, to be able to say it to Seder, if you can manage to get a word in edgeways. It's always a problem nowadays, for Hashem, we've got so many schools, and our schools are such good schools, and every child wants to be mekayim the new mitzvah of the Higanis HaLevicho, and it's a little bit difficult, and you must never forget that we still require to keep the old mitzvah of the Higanis HaLevicho. You know, I was often thinking that, just occurred to me that in this, we say in the Haggadah, V'Higanis HaLevicho, Yochel Mirash Chodesh, yeah, many of you might think you've got to start in Rosh Chodesh already, and Tamid Loimah Bayon Hahu, Bayon Hu Yochel Mirash Chodesh, the big commitment of V'Higanis HaLevicho is to keep it for the Seder night, when you've got paper, matzah, morim, or nothing but for Necho, when you're not just talking about it, but you're actually demonstrating it. Nowadays we don't bother about this. Yochel Mirash Chodesh is already start before Rosh Chodesh already, and Purim already start telling them. So it's very nice in one hand, but it can sometimes create a problem in the Seder. Depends how many children you've got, and they're equipped with so many books and things that everybody wants to read out on the Divrei Torah. I often thought maybe it might be an idea to tell children beforehand. You've got to tell them before the Seder. You'd have to tell them, look, we're going to make an arrangement that, you know, Pesach is 8 days, not just one night, it's 8 days, and you've got 3 meals every day, and we want you to give your toilet all the meals, and so you've got lots of toilet, you spread it out over all of it, every meal, every child can say two of his divrei toilet from his book, and on the Seder night we'll keep every child maybe two or three or four according to the number of children, and then you allow the father to say a few words as well. So might be an idea whether it's worth in practice or somehow, I'm not quite sure, but maybe. Okay, well, it's a pleasure to be here and to speak about the Yom of the Seder, but I must tell you, and indeed they're just bullet points just in case anybody wants to write something down so you know the state in which we're doing it. I don't know how many of these points we're going to get through, but whatever we manage to get through, it's Hakel Reva. I must tell you, it's a little bit difficult for me to talk here because, you know, you're talking to Talmid Chachomim and everybody has learned about the Seder for many, many years. Everybody's heard Torah, everybody's gone, and you've had lots of shiurim here in the last few weeks about Pesach and in the honor of Seder probably, and if not, you've read it in Sforim. There's so many Sforim and so many Haggadahs with Mefarshim come out, and you've heard it from other people and from your children. But I don't even know what to say. Whatever I say, you know, you've probably heard. You're talking to an audience of Kolona Tachomim, Kolona Nevoinim, Kolona Yoidim, it's called a Torah. So, what does one say? So I thought that what I would do is that I would try to share with you some of my own ideas, which you won't have heard, neither from your children nor from anybody else. And it's up to you. You can either take them or leave them for what they're worth. The only problem is that if you decide to leave them all, then I will have wasted a half an hour of precious time before for Peter. So I'll try to intersperse it with some solid ideas from official classic ideas from the Shoinim and some others as well. I once heard the idea that we say in Shir HaShirim, which we read on Shabbos, the Vash V'cholos Tachat L'Shoinich, the shepherd said to his beloved, you've got honey and milk on your tongue. And I once heard the idea of what's the difference between honey and milk. Honey is something that the bee goes around, collects a little drop from every flower, drop in a drop there, thousands of drops come together and it regurgitates it into the hive, and then it evaporates and becomes thicker and it becomes honey. But all the bee has done is it's collected it from all over, it's nothing of its own input into the honey. And that's in fact one of the reasons, the main reason why it's mutter to eat honey, even though it comes from a bee, and we have a general rule, Dava Yoitzman a Tommy, but this is not a Yoitzman a Tommy, the bee hasn't synthesized it, hasn't made it out of its own body, it's simply collected in a little honey sack in its throat and spat it out again. The cholov, on the other hand, milk, is something which the cow eats grass, it digests it, it breaks it up completely, and it absorbs it, it assimilates it, it becomes part of it, and then out of all those ingredients which you get from the dust, it then puts it together and secretes it from its mammary glands, it creates milk. It's a completely new product. And so a person should hold every dash, and they say should have capital shine, should have under your tongue, should have a little bit of something which you've collected from others, and a little bit something which you've synthesized from yourself. And in fact, I thought maybe when we say that Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Zovat Cholavut Vash, so it's not just that it's a very fertile land, but it's also even in Torah that you've got lots of families that are coming, who are learning Torah, they're taking in Torah, but they're not just making themselves into a bag, just shoving in into a big library, you know, got it all in a chip inside the brain, but you're actually digesting what you learn. That's the idea of what we're supposed to do. You're supposed to digest what you learn and absorb it into your system and make it part of you, and then automatically things will come out and new ideas will come out, and then we pass that on to the next generation, old ideas plus the new ideas. Okay, let's make a start. We know the framework of the Haggadah is based on the Arba Kosos. At the Kosos, around the Arba Kosos, you've got the first Kos for Kiddush, second Kos for Haggadah, third for Birchas Hamazon, and the fourth for Hallel. And it's really a chiyuv to do all these things at a Kos. That's why we have to fill up the Kos before we start the Manush Tamil, Kan Mois Din Kos Sheni. I remember once, many years ago, there was one young Koyel man in Gateshead, and the Seder night he got so carried away with talking and discussing the children after him, he completely forgot to fill up his second course. The course was empty in front of him. He went right through the Haggadah, and it wasn't Al HaKos. I got terribly worried, you know, suddenly he came to the Etzer Makkos. You dip your finger in the wine, suddenly there was nothing to dip into, you know, that's what he found, it was an empty course. And so he's worried, actually the same as Kiddush, you made Kiddush ala Kos, and suddenly you looked, there was no wine in your cup, you probably wouldn't be yoitza Kiddush, because it's got to be Kiddush ala Yain. So if you haven't got a Kos Yain standing in front of you, you thought maybe he's not yoitza the Haggadah, and maybe you've got to start all over again from the beginning, and was getting near the Katsos, you know how it is, you know, and he was getting worried, and he just sort of hoped for the best, he filled up the Kos, he carried on. And the next morning he met with Leib Lapian, and he told him of his problem. He said, I don't know whether I've been yoyted the Haggadah or anything. And the Rebbe said to him, he said, tell me, did you have any bottles of wine on your table? He said, oh, plenty of bottles of wine. He said, so that was your cost. You know, who said the cost has got to be shaped like this? You know, your cost can be shaped like this. You know, that's your cost. So you have wine on the table, it's okay, don't worry about it. You were yoyted. But if we were to ask anybody, you know, what is the reason for the Arba Kosos? So you usually find that 9 out of 10 people will tell you that the reason is before the Shoyne Shel Geula. But the truth is that that is not the primary reason. The primary reason is mentioned as the famous Medrash, a lot of people do know it, that's why I only said 9 out of 10. The Medrash Rabba, at the end of Pashas Vayeshev, says that I haven't got a chumash here. Okay, it doesn't matter. But it's not the kosher paro four times just like that. But the kosher paro is mentioned. The Sana Mashkim, he mentions the kosher paro three times, not four times. People think it's four times. It's only three times. So he mentioned three times. Kosher paro the yodi. There's only three times. That's the end of his speech. But then it goes on. And then he says, and then So Yosef, in his interpretation, he's got a fourth time. So the combination of the Sarah Mashlim and the Kos of Yosef, that gives you our four Koses. And on that, the Medrash Rabba says, because of this, after Chomim and Misakin, to drink four Koses on the Seder night. That's the first, the primary reason. That's why the Medrash Rabba is in Pashas Vayeshev. And then it says, Others people say it's because of connected Abba Lashana, something because of the four Godis, something because of this, because of that. There's a whole list of other reasons given. But the primary reason is because of these four choices. And I like this reason very much, because all the other reasons, they just give you a number four. It's got nothing to do with choices. So, you know, we could have four tomatoes, you know, we could have four anything. No, why pink? Four choices. Eh? According to this, it's four choices, because you've got the choice matched four times. Of course, everybody will ask, okay, it's very nice, very sweet, you've got four choices mentioned, but the mice, I mean, what's it got to do with a Seder night? And I thought about it a little bit, and suddenly I realized there's tremendous depth here. That what a Chazal are telling us, that on the Seder night, what are we celebrating? The fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim tonight. That don't think that this is just something which happened tonight. That the nation are crying, they had enough, they had so much solace, they cried, the Nitzak and Hashem, and Kodesh Baruch Hu took Rachmonis on them, and he took us out, tonight he took us out. It wasn't like that. This is all part of the great plan of history of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He had this all planned that the Yidden would have to go down to Mitzrayim, would have to be there, shivered for them, and then eventually they would come out. It was all part of the planning. And what happened, what we celebrated tonight and the Seder night, already started over 200 years earlier, when one night in an Egyptian dungeon, there was a son of Mashkin with a dream that was troubling him, and he went to Yosef and he told him his dream. And because Yosef was able to interpret his dream correctly, so through that it was an escalator, the old Meister, that Yosef became the viceroy of Mitzrayim, and through that he was able to bring his whole family down, and Shibud started. So the whole thing, as we're sitting at the Seder night, we're saying this is the climax of a story which already started a long, long time ago. Kodesh Baruch had all that in the planning. And the planning was, obviously, that's why we have to have that combination. If the Sarah Mashkin would have had his dream, but Yosef wouldn't have been able to interpret it, or vice versa, Yosef would have been a good interpreter, the Sarah Mashkin wouldn't have had a dream, nothing would have happened. But it's a combination. The Sarah Mashkin had this dream which was troubling him, and Yosef was able to interpret it, that gives you three choices plus the one, that made the whole thing, that created, that through that, everything happened. If not for that, Yosef would have probably perished in an Egyptian dungeon. Is not a very nice place. It's not like modern prisons where the prisoners, they complain, have heard complaints that they can only watch two channels on their TV. In those days, if you're in an Egyptian prison, you probably languish after a few years, you perish. And this was the whole life of Yosef. You see all the time, he goes down and then he goes back up and he goes higher than he was when he started. Right, you see this right through, even when the brothers, they throw him into a pit. First he's at ground level, then he goes into a pit, and then they lift him out of the pit, and then he goes up onto a caravan. And in his life, you know, he goes down, he becomes an eved, he becomes a prisoner in a prison, then he comes out of prison, he comes back to normal, and then he gets lifted up, and he's higher than ever, he becomes a viceroy of Egypt. And the same as the family, son of Yaakov, first they come down, then they're shubbered, and then they come out, and then they get the Matan Torah, and they're greater than any other nation. And the same will apply to the whole of Yisrael. You know, we're down, we've got sorrows for years and years, but in the Hashem, we've marched to Mashiach, that we'll be higher than all the others. So this is the idea of the Dal of the Shinus. Now you find a similar thing a little bit earlier on in Pashas Vayeshev, that you find that it's in chapter Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Yud Gimel, that the brothers, they went off to pasture their sheep in Shechem. And Yaakov comes along and he says, Vayom Yisrael el Yosef, Haloya checho royim b'shechem. Your brothers are passing in Shechem. Lechov eshlochocho aleihem. Usually translates of, come, let me send you to them. And, you know, and he goes off. Now this phrase, Lechov eshlochocho aleihem, occurred to me, it's a very rare phrase. You can look through the whole of Tanakh and you'll have a job finding it, because it occurs only one other time in the Torah. No, that's not in the Leviim anywhere, it's not in Ksuvim, it's one other time in the Torah. Where is that time? It's when a Kodesh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe at the burning bush, and he says, V'atoh hinei tzakas b'nei sol boi lai, V'atoh Lecho v'shlokocho el paro. That same phrase, lecho v'shlokocho el paro. Now, I'm convinced that if you get a phrase like this, which is so rare, it occurs only twice altogether, then there must be some connection. And again, I thought about it a little bit, and the connection is obvious. That when Yaakov sent Yosef away from home, he said, lecho v'shlokocho aleihem, he thought he was sending him away for a few days, go and find out how they're keeping, how they're doing, and come back to me and report to me. But of course Yosef never ever came back from there. He went out on the train and the whole thing happened. So this, when he said lecho v'shlokocho aleihem, this was the very beginning of the whole story of Shiva Mitzrayim. Until then he was at home, everything was fine. Now Yosef was sent away from home, from there he went out to Mitzrayim, he brought the whole family down. This was the beginning of the whole thing. And now when it comes to the end, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu decides the time is this, this is it. So he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, lecho v'shlokocho el paro, that same phrase again. In other words, it's like the whole thing is bracketed, the whole story of Shiva Yetzias Mitzrayim and Mitzrayim is bracketed in between these two, lecho v'shlokocho. It's like quotation marks, the quotation mark here and the quotation mark there. In between we have the whole quotation. So I think that's a sort of in a way a similar idea, that the whole thing was put together. And really, I mean, there's a lot to say about this, we haven't got much time, but we know that Yaakov Avinu, you know, he wouldn't be comforted by more nesnachim and the whole story. And you know, why wasn't he comforted? Why didn't other people lose? Why was it that he found it so difficult to be comforted? And many of them of the Mephoshim say that it was because he felt that it was his own fault, that he should have never sent Yosef away. Why did I send him to the brothers? I know the brothers weren't very friendly to him. What did I have to send him away for? What the Shagat got into me to go and send Yosef, you know, into the lion's den? What did I need it for? And you know, he blamed himself, you know, and it's kind of very peculiar. Why did he send him? You know, so he, when you blame yourself for something, then that hurts more than anything else. That you feel it's my fault, even if the brothers didn't, even if the brothers didn't kill him, even if it would have been a higher roach or lost to attack a wild animal, got him on the way. But this is a classic example of what we call philosophy pshia beside the oinus. You do a pshia, and then something happens, which is pack an oinus, you couldn't help it, nothing. But if you wouldn't have done the pshia, then the oinus wouldn't have come. So he blamed himself terribly. And we take a wonder, why take, you know, did you have to send him away? What did he want to send him away? Go and see Lechore Shlaim Achecho, go and see how they're keeping. Maybe they need something, some help. Shlaim Atsayim, maybe the sheep need something. What do they need? Who needs their 10 able-bodied young men, experienced shepherds, they know what they're doing, and they can look after themselves. You need little Yosef to go along to them and to see whether what, you know. And what is the seichel in sending them away? He couldn't get over it. And we had to ask ourselves, Taka, what was the seichel? Why Taka did he send them away? And there's only one answer, and that is that the Kodesh Baruch Hu put it into his mind that sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu makes us do things which are completely out of character. We do things which are awesome. Why did I do this thing? This is when Minas Shemayim, God's Father, put it into his mind that he had to send Yosef away, and then through that, the whole thing came out in this way. He had to go down to Mitzrayim. And this is what we say on the Seder night, when we, the Ikka of the Seder night, we've got always got to remember the Ikka. The Ikka is to be a Doyish Merami Obi, Ashayuma Kol Pasha Kula, the Mishnah says. You've got to dash the whole of the Rami Oyvind Ovi and all the drush on it, the whole Sidri, every pasuk gets analyzed, each word gets analyzed. This is really the main part of the mitzvah of Sidri Tzitz Mitzrayim. The Rambam says, Kol Amar B'Lestapir, the drush Pasha Zu, Hareza Meshubach. This is not, you know, don't spend your time talking about that. It's Holach Mo'anyo, Holach Mo'anyo, the Moshul of Zuman, all this sort of, you've got to get on the Ikka, and it's so beautiful. I mean, you could spend hours and hours on this Alami Oyvind of these pashes and the drush of the Sifri. And you know, when we started, unfortunately, as soon as you get into this, then you're getting later, then it gets near the chatzos, by the time you get up to there, and you've got to rush it through. But when you take it, we just take the first word, the Rami added only Vayeret Mitzrayimu. So the Sefer says Vayeret Mitzrayimu Onus Sefer Hadibur. You know the writer. You know he was forced by the decree of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Yeah? What does that mean? Was forced by the decree of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. This is what it means. That the Rebbeinu Shel Olam forced it all upon Baruch Hu, put this into his mind to do something which was completely out of keeping, and through that he came down. On the way down, you know, he met this man. That's again a whole big story, you know, but we have the time for that now. This man who redirects him, you know, who finds him, he redirects him to Dagestan. Again, you know, in the normal course of events, he also would have simply gone home, said, "Daddy, I couldn't find them. I looked all over, they were gone. Where should I look?" And suddenly this man steps out of the blue, he redirects them, and he brings the whole thing about. And then comes, when he's in prison, then the Sarah Mashkin comes along and brings him out again. And so all these things were forced. It was all, when Yaakov went down, this wasn't a normal thing that he decided to go on holiday to Egypt 1 year, then he decided to stay a little bit. It was all onus al fi hadibur. So this is sort of just an outline in the Balak Kaisers. When it comes to the Gimel Matzahs, then again, of course, I think probably many people know this, that there is another Pshat. We normally say Gimel Matzahs are because we have to have two Shleimers and one which is one in order to break. But there's another reason given for the three Matzahs, and that is the reason, it sounds like a little pshetl, but it's actually a reason given in the Mordechai, one of the great Rishonim. And he says that when we were in Mitzrayim, we were like in prison, and when you come out of prison, then you have to bring a korban toido. So we say one of the four people who've got to come out, have got to give a korban toido, is the person who's come out of prison. And so when he came out of prison, they were mechuyev to bring a korban toido. Today, when we haven't got a korban toido, so we bench goyman. That's what we do instead. There's actually four people who've got a bench goyman, not just the prison, because he adds to the Mordechai, because we say now that mechuyev chayim yaducho tselo. Chaim has got the Yaducho Tzelo. Chaim stands for what a chesed, sort of choyda. Somebody's been ill, been in hospital. I think Yud is Yisurim. Somebody's had pains and afflictions, things he's been not well. The other Yud is Yam, and the Men is Midbar. So anybody's been any of those four, you've got to bench Goyman. So we could add to the Mordechai that he, the Bnei Yisrael, have been through all the four. They've been afflicted, they have pains, they've been beaten up. Right? They were imprisoned in Mitzrayim, and they had to go through the Midbar, and they crossed the Yamsuf. So really, they had all the four. So you have to bring a korban toido. And with the korban toido, we said in the Seder last Shabbos, that there are four sets of lachmei toido which we have to bring, four different kinds of lechem. One is a meshuchim b'shemen, one is this kind and that kind, four different kinds. And of those four different kinds, three are matzah, and the fourth is chometz. So the Mordechai says, so we want to make a zecher for the korban toido which we were going to bring. So we have these, we can't bring the chometz one, of course, so all we left is the three of matzah. Right? We can't bring the fourth, what can you do? And I told this to Santa Martha Bruce and Shlomo McClure, and he said, maybe when we break one matzah into two, so now we've got four. Right? Okay, you know, Esher. But at any rate, we go through the Arami Oyed Ovi. That's a very, very important part. Then we eventually we come to Rabban Gamliel. At state after Rami Ovi, then says the Rabban Gamliel, "Hoy Oyma, Kol Shla Amar Shloisha Devarim Eina BaPesa Yalav Yotzei Chavoso Pesach Matzah Omora." Now, it's always struck me, that's very strange. What's that Gamliel saying here? It's very strange. You want to say that a person who is to say Pesach Matzah Morah to say so. Sorech Odom Noima Pesach Matzah Morah. They say, Kol Shlai, Omar Shlai, and you know, if you haven't said that, then you haven't been Yaitse Yachoyim. Somebody would tell you you've got to go on filling every day. So anybody who doesn't put on filling on his head and on his arm, you know, if you haven't been Yaitse Yachoyim, it's a funny way of saying things. And one day, I was looking in the Pirush Mishnayos of the Rambam at the back of the Gemara on this Mishnah, the long Mishnah out of Gamliel and Sochim, and the Rambam says two words, and I sat up. The Rambam says, "The Kaimelon to Rabban Gamliel." Halachos like Rabban Gamliel. I thought, what? Halachos like Rabban Gamliel? It's talking about? We all hold of Rabbi Gamliel. What do you mean? That looks like Rabbi Gamliel. And then I realized, what are you saying? You know, we learn Gemara, so we learn a Mishnah, then we learn a chunk of Gemara, then we learn the next Mishnah. But the way the Mishnahs come one after another, the previous Mishnah says that a child has got to ask the Mamish Tana, and then the father has got to answer, and he's got to answer, and then they see that as Shilbain, she's that as Shilbain of the Melando, and the Doyish Merami Ovid Ovi Ashikoi Makolo Pasha, well, he's got it in till he's finished the Pasha Merami Ovid Ovi. That's what the Mishnah says. That's Yachiv of Sipi Sipi. That's the Chachomim. Rabbi Gamliel Hoya Aimer, Rabbi Gamliel then comes along and says, no, no, that's not enough. You can dash, of course, it's very nice, and you should dash into the Pasha Merami Ovi Ovi, but if you just stop there, you haven't yet been Yoitzi Yachiv. You've still got to do Pesach Matamoro. So then he comes along and says, no, the culture of Omishon, if you haven't said many, you still haven't been yoyt to the mitzvah of Pesach Matzah Amorah. I don't know how much time we have. How much time have you got here, Johnny?
4 minutes.
4 minutes. Okay. I saw an interesting sort of question which is asked, and that is sort of after Rav Gamliel, then we come into Hallel. Now, we know the Gemara says that why don't we say Hallel on Purim? So the Gemara gives actually two reasons. But one reason is that Kriyosu, reading of the Megillah, that's the Hallel. What the Hallel is there to praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu or the great things that he did for us. When we read the Megillah, so we've said all the great things that Baruch Hashem has done, there's no need to say Hallel. So the question is, on the Seder night, we've just gone through the Gemara, we've said all the things that Kadosh Baruch Hu did for us, all the Nisim, all the Aftermath, everything. So where's the need to say Hallel? Should be the same as Purim. And the reason I've seen given, and it's along similar lines to another kasher, which is a well-known kasher, which is a Haigorn asked the kasher, why don't we say a brochur for Hallel on the Seder night? The Worcester kasher. This Hallel is a strange Hallel. Not only we don't say a brochur, but first of all, we never say Hallel at night time. Hallel is a daytime mitzvah, it's not a night time thing. And also Hallel is the chiyuv to stand up when you're saying Hallel. And here we're sitting down, it's altogether different. And that Haigorn says that this is not a din of Hallel, it's a din of Shiro. What does he mean? So what he means is that we've got two dinim. Hallel is that if something once happened in history, and the Chachamim decided we've got to try to remember, to remind us of what happened, so we try to remember it every year, and thank the Kodesh Baruch Hu and say Hallel for what he did at one time. Shiro is something which is a spontaneous outburst which comes out of a person at the time when something happens. Oz Yoshua Moshe Venezor, and they cross the Yamsum, Baruch Hashem, all the Mitzvim are dead, we're free now, Oz Yoshua, then suddenly the time is Shiro, you burst into song. Always Oz Yoshua, a few times you find it in the toilet. And it's Shiro, at a time when something has happened, and you feel so full of happiness and so full of Hakkarat, the toys of the Baruch Shalom, that you come out in Shiro. So normally comes Purim, comes Hanukkah, comes all these things, we've got to remember that years ago the Maccabees had to fight against the Greeks and involved the Shem of God, so we've got a mitzvah to say Hallel. So then we've got a mitzvah, so when you do a mitzvah, you make a bracha, Shem Yishon the Son of Tzivonu, they cry it to Hallel. But on the Seder night, now we've just said, that I now came out of the time, I'm going through the world, I went through the shibud, I felt the pain, I felt everything, and I'm coming out, and now, Baruch Hashem, I'm free. You know, I used to really, though, child, it's a very difficult, and I must tell you, that's the hardest part of the Seder. So I tried to eat matzah, okay, I'll eat matzah, even tell me mora, I'll eat Baruch Hashem, I'll eat mora. But feel, imagine as if you really can, if you're a shibud, as if you're a shine, you're an edit. You know, when I used to, when the children were small, you know, I used to wallop them, I used to say, look, this is how the Mitzvim came, and said, come on, you have to get on with it, and nobody ever wanted to sit next to me at the Seder night, you know, but, you know, try to feel, this is what it was like, you know, the strain, the pressure of it, and it's suddenly you're free. Ah, Baruch Hashem, now we're free. So there's a spontaneous outburst of things. Shira, oh, Baruch Hashem. You don't say that you're not doing it because it's a mitzvah, because it's a chiyuv to do it, and I'm going to say a brocha in it. It would spoil the whole thing if you were to interrupt and say, okay, Hashem, you're strong, 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 you're not doing it as a mitzvah, as a duty, as a command. You're doing it, it's a spontaneous outburst that's coming out of you. And therefore, you know, in the same way as you don't make a brocha, so we don't say, okay, you can only do it in the daytime. It's the daytime and it's time to go to sport. We'll wait until, what do you mean wait until tomorrow morning? It's now that I feel it, it's coming out now. And I'm sitting down now, I'm doing it as I'm sitting. And say, stand up, you know, formal, make it like formal. Hallelujah. No, forget about the formalities. Just let it come out naturally. It is a shiur. That's naturally, in fact, what we say in the God, the normal of a shiur, kadosho, hallelujah, call. You have a state being pressed into a shiur. And... Pardon?
She was saying
Ad Yosher
instead of
Halim. Because Ad Yosher, yeah, that
Shir
shall pay. Yeah, that's right.
Shir shall pay.
Pardon? Shir shall pay for it. That's right. Oh, yeah, I have nothing back, so Shir shall pay for it. That's it. So that would also answer the first question that we said, about the soldiers and the chief rabbi Sagoda, and mentioned it as a thing. It's a very nice, I must tell you, the lovely Hagoda has got very, very nice ideas in it. And he says, he asked this kasha, you know, why aren't we yoitzer, you know, with the Haggadah, why do we need to say Halil? And it's not a question of being yoitzer, you know, it's a question, we don't do this now as a duty, we're doing it because it's got a bit of shiro, and it simply comes out, and we will hire ourselves to say. So we say, no, we don't say, no, we're potter, who wants to be potter? It's coming out like that.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, I'll tell you, we'll have the questions later on. Okay, so I just finish off by saying that it's a beautiful idea, which I think I've seen in the name of the Bris Barov, that when we say, when we kind of miss the Gadatol Levincho, it says there in the Torah, the Gadatol Levincho Bayoimahu Leimaya. As we always say, the Gadatol Levincho Bayoimahu, we dash all these things, you forget about Leimaya. What does Leimaya mean? It actually says many times in Chumash by Rabbi Hashem and Moshe Lemar. Lemar means to say it. I'm telling you to Moshe for the purpose that Moshe should say it further. Lemar, to say it further. So when we tell our child of the Seder night, when we impress him with the Holy Decease and Shrine and everything which happened, right, then we should tell that child Lemar in such a way that in Yet Hashem, and we're talking about the Gadatol Levincho, is what we say to the Sheein Ede Elishel. The small child is a little Sheein Ede Elishel, but hopefully, living through a Seder, hearing everything which the father said, surrounded by the white tablecloth and white kittel and the whole aruma, the room, as we say in English, of the Seder night, you know, the whole atmosphere of the Seder night should make such an impression that in Yet Hashem, one day he will grow up. And he will have his own family, he will have his own children, he'll have his own little Sheina de Elishas, and he will pass on to the next generation the whole spirit and the atmosphere and the Torah which he heard from his father, the same as his father passed on, we heard from our father, from his father, from the grandfather, all the Torah right out for the last 3,000 years, it should carry on into the next generation. If we do the Seder properly and with the proper spirit, and with the Shem, we should all have children was carried on in the right way in the time of Mr. Mikhail Vinho Lehman.